Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's Daf HaShavua is sponsored, as it is every week, by OMO Construction and David and Paul Baumzer. And we're starting at the Mishnah on Tes Amid Beis. We'll see if we could get through that and through Daf Yud to the bottom for the next Mishnah. The first Mishnah of the whole Masechta talks about the earliest time you could say Shema in the evening. And now we're going to switch to talk about what's the earliest time you could say Shema in the morning, for the morning Shema. Mishnah says, Me'ema, this is again Mishnah in the middle of Tes Amid Beis. Mishnah says, Me'ema Saikorin es Shema B'Shacharis, what's the earliest time you can say Shema in the morning? Mishiyakir ben Tcheles Lavan. It's the time that you can recognize, given the fact that it's just starting to get light, this is the earliest time that you can recognize between Tcheles, which is the Tcheles that we're familiar with, the blue color, Lavan, and white. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ben Tcheles Lekarsi. That's a much later, not much, but a later period. It's when it's light enough that you could recognize more finely between green and blue. Tcheles Lekarsi, green and blue, or blue and green. And what's the latest time you could say it? Ad Hanetzachama, until sunrise. So that's a pretty narrow window from the time that you could recognize Tcheles Lavan or Tcheles Lekarsi until sunrise. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, that if that was halacha, we'd all be in big trouble. We'd have to wake up really early, especially during some months of the year. But thankfully, Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer ad shalosh shos, that we have until the third hour of the day. We're talking about shos manios. So if you take a full day from sunrise to sunset, you split it into 12 pieces. This is the first 3 hours, the first three parts of that. You have until shalosh shos. How does he know that, or why should that be? Shekein derech melachim lamod b'shalosh shos. Because it's the habit of kings or princes to wake up at that time of day, and therefore, even though ordinary people might wake up much early at the crack of dawn or at sunrise, rather, because more relaxed people who live in more luxurious situations, get to sleep a little later, so therefore we can say Shema until then. Because again, we're informed by the fact that the pasuk says here of v'shachbecha of Kumecha. So the morning Shema should somehow correspond to the time that you people wake up. So since some people wake up the third hour of the day, as late as the third hour of the day, it's okay to say Shema that late. And then the Gemara says, Hakori mikan ve'elach, but if you miss the time and you say Shema after that, lo hifsid ka'adam hakori b'torah, if you miss the time, so you're better off saying it. It's like you're no worse off saying it later, or you're worse off saying it later, but it's not a bad thing to say it later. It's like you're saying, it's just like you're learning Torah. There's no downside to saying it if you miss the deadline. That's the Mishnah. Okay, the Gemara says, "My bein tcheles l'lavan." What is this period of time, or what's this point in time that you could distinguish between blue and white? Ilema bein gvava da'amra chiyura l'gvava da'amra t'techalta. It's if it's the period of time where you take a bundle of wool that's white and a bundle of wool that's blue, and we're saying that you could distinguish between the blue bundle of wool and the white bundle of wool, habalela nami mediyade. That's very easy to tell the difference. You, even at night when it's pretty dark, you just have the moonlight, you could tell the difference, the distinction between a big ball of wool that's blue and a big ball of wool that's white. So rather we're going to say it's a much finer, more refined distinction. Rather, we're talking about where you have one ball of wool or one strand of tzitzis, let's say, that's colored, parts of it blue and parts of it white, and we're saying it's the period of time where you could you were able to distinguish between the blue part and the white part. That's a tougher distinction to make, and it's at that point that you're allowed to say, that's the earliest you could say Shema. Tanya, Reimer, Omer. So now we're going to have a few different descriptions of the time at which you could start saying Shema. Tanya Rimer Omer Mishiakir Ben Ze'ev LeKelev, the time where you could distinguish a wolf from a dog. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ben Chamur LaRod, the time where you could distinguish between a donkey and a wild donkey. V'acherim Omer Mishiyira Eschaviru Rachok Dalet Amos V'yakirena. And others say that it's the period of time when you could distinguish between your friend, or you could recognize your friend from 4 amos away. Amar Rav Huna halacha ka'achirim. So Rav Huna says the halacha is like that last point. It's the period of day, it's the time of day when it's light enough that you can recognize your friend from 4 amos away. Amar Abaye l'tfilin ka'achirim. The earliest time to put on tefillin is that point of time. We could recognize your friend from Dawud Av Samway. L'kriya shema kevasikin. But the halacha is, says Abaye, that the earliest period when you could say shema is, I'm sorry, is kevasikin. Amar Rav Yochanan, vasikin hayu gomer nosa im hanetzachama. The Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying that the vasikin would do it early, and they would finish it, meaning they would finish Shema and start Shemon Esrei at that threshold between at Netzachama, when sunrise happens. Tanya Nami Hachi, similarly, we say, Vasikin ha-yugon ro-sa'im ha-Netzachama, k'desh yismoch gu'o l'tfiwa v'nimsa mispalo bayom. That Vasikin would finish Shema at Netzachama, and they would start Shemon Esrei right there at Netzachama, in order that there be a smichas gu'o l'tfiwa right when the day is breaking.
How do you finish Shema and when they say finish Shema, they mean getting to Gal Yisrael?
Or? Yeah, I guess there's a small enough time between the time you finish Shema, the three parshas of Shema, and the time that Gal Yisrael, that they're kind of hedging that period of time. Where they're referring to Shema more globally is with the Birkos Kriya Shema. It's interesting, Tosos points out that we seem to be paskening here like the Vasikin, right? At least some of the Amoraim, Rav Yochanan says, Abaye says, Kriya Shema Kivasikin. So does that mean that we actually paskin, that you have to finish Kriya Shema at the time of Hanitzachama? So Tosos points out, no, that they're just talking about that it's mitzvah min amuvchar kivasikin, samuch Hanitzachama, kadesh gusmoch gu etfila. That it's preferable, and this is generally our niyug now. There are some people who are makbid to do a kivasikin. They wake up early. It's a preferable thing to do vasikin. But when Rav Huna said, or rather when Abaye said halacha kivasikin, he didn't mean that was the absolute requirement. It's just that it's preferable to do it kivasikin. We paskin that you have till 3 hours in the day. Okay, Amar Reb Zera Mikra. What's the pasuk that backs up this idea that you should start the day right at the very beginning of sunrise with Shemana Esrei, Yira'ucha Im Shemesh, Vifnei Yerach Dor Dorim. And again, Yira'ucha Im Shemesh, that you should see it, that you should praise Hashem right when the sun rises. Hey, Rabbi Yossi ben Eliakim, Mishum Kila Kadisha di Birushalayim. So he testified that in the name of the Kila Kadisha di Birushalayim, Ka Someh Gu'u Etfila Eino Nizok Kohayom Kula. Anyone who does this, who juxtaposes Gu'ua and Tfilah, who says Shemon Esrei right after the Birkos Kriya Shema, is promised that he's not going to be damaged, or he's not going to fall into any kind of problems all day long. Tosfos on the bottom asks the obvious question, what kind of promise is this? This is not a very tall order. All you have to do is follow the order of the sitter, right? As long as you follow the order of the sitter, you're promised that you're not going to be damaged all day long. So Tosfos explains that we're talking about people who are doing kivasikin, right? If you go out of your way and do it early, like this mitzvah min amuvchar to do kivasikin, so then you have this special promise that eno nizo kolayon kulo, that you were going to be successful all day, you're not going to be damaged. Amar Rabbi Zeira, back in the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zeira, ini, is that really true, that you're not going to be damaged if you do it kivasikin, or if you do it someku letfila? Va'ana samchi visiki. I did it. I was so mechu l'tfila, and I ran into a problem. Amrei b'may yitzakis. What was your problem that you had? Dimtaya asa l'bei malka. That you had to bring a myrtle branch to the king. Right? He's complaining. Who is this? Rabbi Zera is complaining that I was so mechu l'tfila, and yet I had to go through the trouble of delivering a myrtle branch to the king. But he responds to him, Rabbi Yosef ben Eliakim responds to him, Hasam nami mi bayul cholamei of agra lemech se'ape malka. But he says that was actually a privilege you had to bring a myrtle branch to the king. People would pay money to have the privilege of bringing a myrtle branch to the king. You're complaining that you were so much good with fila, and yet that we didn't save you from the obligation to deliver stuff to the king. But you don't realize that was actually a privilege you had, and not not to your detriment. Dam Rav Yochanan liol. And how do we know that that's true? That it's a privilege to bring something to the king. Even a non-Jewish king, Dam Rav Yochanan liolam yishtado adam warutz l'kras malcha Yisrael. A person should always run after, or run to the opportunity to greet a Jewish king. Not only Jewish kings is this true. It's true even that you should have welcome the opportunity to greet a non-Jewish king. Because by virtue of interacting with a non-Jewish king, you'll come to appreciate the greatness of Jewish kings. The way Rashi points it out is that somehow Olam Haba, you'll recognize, maybe after Yemos HaMashiach, when the Jewish kings are in the ascent, so you'll recognize the greatness of Jewish kings by the fact that you appreciated the greatness of not Jewish kings even before that time. Amar le Rav Yehuda li'ula. Ki aigus l'hasam, he said, when I went up there, when I went to Bavel, Shoyl b'shalma d'rav bruna acha, or wait, I'm sorry, when you go up to Bavel, he's instructing him, to Ua. He says, when you, Ua, go to Bavel, Shoyl b'shalma d'rav bruna achai, please ask about my brother, Rav Bruna. B'mayimad kol chabura. Do it publicly. To Adam Gadalhu, because he's a great man. V'sameach b'mitzvos, and he loves mitzvos. How do we know that? Zimnachad asamach g'ula tfila. One day he was successful in being somech g'ula tfila. Maybe this means that he got it perfectly right, right as the sun was rising. V'lopasik chucha mipume kula yoma. And the smile didn't leave his face all day. Hechi matzi samich. So the Gemara says, how is it that you can be somech? How can you be somech gula tfila without interruption? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say, b'tchila hu omer Hashem sfosai tiftach, u'basof omer yu'u ratzon imrei fi? At the beginning of Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to add that pasuk of Hashem sfosai tiftach. And so if that's the case, how can you flow from gula with tfila? You have this interruption of Hashem sfosai tiftach. Amar Rav Lazar tei b'tfila shal arvis. So he says, okay, just make that, the smichas gula tfila that we've been talking about this whole time is about by shachris. So he says, okay, when the Braisa says that you should add, or when the Rav Yochanan said, you should add Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, do that at Arvis, do that at Marv, but don't do that at Shachris, because in fact that would be an interruption and would be a problem for Smichas Gula Tfila. The Amar Rav Yochanan, Ezehu Ben Olam Abba, Zeo Somech Gula, Shal Arvis, L'Tfila Shal Arvis. So he said, that's not a good answer, because in fact we have the concept of Smichas Gula Tfila not only by Shachris, but also by Arvis. El Amra Velazer Te Betfila Samincha. So he said, okay, leave out Hashem Sfasai Tiftach by Shachris, leave it out by Arvis, because those you need Tfinchas Gulu Tfila, you can't have an interruption. Do it by Mincha. Ravashi Amra Filu Tema Akuhu. So Ravashi says, no, you could add Hashem Sfasai Tiftach by all your Shmon Esrays, Shachris, Mincha, and Marv, Vekevan Dikav Ua Rabbanan Betfila Ketfila Arichta Damya. But we have this concept that since the rabbis put it there as a required part of tefillah, it becomes part of Shemona Esrei, and therefore it's like a tefillah arichta. It just adds on to the length of the Shemona Esrei, but it doesn't take away from the fact that there's now an uninterrupted transition from gula to tefillah, because this is now just part of Shemona Esrei. And he says, I even know that's true regardless. If you didn't say that concept, arvis hechi matzi samech, you're telling me that there's a requirement of smichas gula tefila by Arvis, but how could that possibly be? V'aboyu l'mimer hashkivenu. In addition to the regular birkas kriya shema that you normally say, think about it, at Shacharis you say one bracha after shema, but at Arvis you say two, because there's a second bracha of hashkivenu. That's not one of the classical birkos kriya shema. So if you're adding hashkivenu, that itself is an interruption. And how can you tell me that you have smichas gula tefila at marv? Ela kevin detakin rabbanan hashkivenu kigula arichta damya. Rather, the fact that this is a rabbinic enactment and they required you to say hashkivenu, that just means that they're adding on to the birkos kriya shema, and it's as if it's a gula arichta. They're adding on to the gula aspect of this. Hashkivenu does talk about gula, right? And so their hachanami came into kavua rabbanim b'tfila. So too Hashem sfasai tiftach. Since they added that to Shemona Esrei, ketfila arich d'dami. It just makes Shemona Esrei longer, but it doesn't take away from the flow from gula with tfila. The Gemara then says, michtei hay yura tzoni marifi mashem uvasof mashem eikara debaino ameimar. So yura tzon could have gone on the beginning and it could have gone on the end, because thematically, you are at Sonim Refit. To daven to Hashem, let my tefillos be accepted. that it'll be to your favor, that's something that you could put at the end, you could put at the beginning, right? So therefore, my time at tiknuhu rabbanu la'achar yudches brachos, lemru meikara. Why did they put it at the very end? Maybe they should have added that at the beginning as an introduction to Shmona Esrei. Amrei Yehuda Breid Rav Shimon Pazi, ho vo amru David la'achar yudches parshios ufichach takinu rabbanu la'achar yudches brachos. So he says that the pasuk of Yehuda Ratzon comes at the very end of 18 prakim of Tehillim. Now the truth is that pasuk is at the very end of the 19th parak of Tehillim. So the Gemara says, "Hani yud ches yud tesavian." It's not really true. Yehuda Ratzon doesn't come at the end of 18 brachos; it comes at the end of 19 brachos. Now that would actually work now because we have 19 brachos in Shmoneh Esrei. But the Gemara was before that. That we're going to get to that later. Hani yud ches yud tesavian. So the answer is Ashrei. They're going to combine two parshios, two prakim of Tehillim. Ashrei aish v'lama rikshu goyim chada parshahi. You count those two kapitel of Tehillim as one parsha, as one parak. D'amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi kuf gilmo parshios amar David v'amar haluka ashrab ma'palasim shor shayim. So he says there were 103 prakim of Tehillim went by before David Melach first said Haluka, right? Because at that point he saw the Rishayim falling. Shnemar Yitamu Chatoim in Aretz Rishayim Odeinam Baruch Inafshias Hashem Haluka. That's the first instance of Haluka, right after he saw the Rishayim go down. So the Gemara says, "Hani Kuf Gimel Kuf Daud Havim." It's not true that it's 103 prakim; it's 104 prakim. Elosh Mamina. We see from that Ashrei Yaish V'Lam Urik Shugoyim Chada Parshahi. We count those as two one. We count those two prakim as one parak. Dam Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Rav Yochanan. How do you know that you count these two prakim as one parak? It's because they don't have a beginning and an end each. It's the beginning of one parak is the beginning of which what parak is Ashrei Aish is Ashrei, and then the next parak of Ra'amarukshu Goyim doesn't really have an introductory word, so it kind of flows from that parak. And then Lamarukshu Goyim ends with an end. That's a part with an ashrei, I think. And so there, and therefore, it says here, Parsha Shaisa Chaviv Al David Pasach Baba Ashrei V'Siyim Baba Ashrei. Every parak has an introductory word and has a closing word, namely ashrei. So therefore, Pasach Baba Ashrei Duchsev Ashrei Ish V'Siyim Baba Ashrei Duchsev Ashrei Kolchol Sebo. And so therefore, you see that those two prakim really merge together and are counted as one parak. Tosfos points it out that it's not necessarily the word Ashrei that starts off and ends off each parak, because that's only true for some prakim, but it means that thematic that there's some kind of introductory statement and then some kind of closing statement, and because these two prakim kind of flow together, we consider them one unified parak, and that's why we're able to get to the 104 count or up to the 18 count rather than the 19 count. Okay, once we quoted that pasuk of Yitamu Chatoim in Haaretz, which we say on Rosh Chodesh, that's the end of Baruch Inafshi, the Gemara says a very famous little memra about that pasuk. Hano biryuni davu b'shuvuvuse drayner. There were these bad guys, there were these annoying people who were living in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir, davu kumitzari le'tuva, and they would bother him a lot. They would just annoy him. Havakabai, maybe they more than annoy him. They really oppressed him. Havakabai Rabbi Meir rachame yuavayhu. Kihechi dilimusu. So Rabbi Meir davened that they should die. Rabbi Meir davened that they should be killed. Amrale Bruria debitu. So Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir, heard him davening for their death. And she said, "My daitech, what are you thinking? Why would you daven for someone's death?" She said, "Is it because of the pasuk Mishum Dachsiv Yitamu Chataim?" It does, but it says Yitamu Chataim that the sinners should be cut off, should end. Miksiv chotim chatoim kasiv. She says it doesn't say that the chotim, that the people who are sinners should die. Rather, it says chatoim. It says the sins should die. Right? She's pointing out you shouldn't be davening that these individuals should be killed. The pasuk doesn't say gitamo chotim. It doesn't say the sinners should die. It says that the sins should die. Viod shvil asefe dekrush said, "Go to the end of the pasuk, urishayim odeinam, and there should be no more bad people." So she explains that that's kevan di tamu chataim, since the sins are cut away, since the sins are destroyed, Rishayim Odeinam, the natural consequence of that is that there will be no more bad people. Ella, she says, Boy Rachami Ilavayu, Dilahadru B'tshuva, what you should be really davening for is that their sins go away. Not that the sinners be cut off, not that the sinners be destroyed. And therefore, there will be no more bad people because all the sins will go away. The bad people will stop doing sins. And so what happened? He followed his wife's advice. He davened that they should stop doing sins. And it worked. These people did tshuva. They didn't die. They did tshuva. The sins went away. And it was a happy ending to the story. Okay, this gets quoted all the time when like a really bad person dies, so then inevitably there's like a story in the Jewish press or in the media, like, is it okay to daven for the Mapalas and Jerusalem? Should you daven that people should die? I remember when Arafat died, everyone was cheering, and then they had all these articles, is it okay to cheer for when a bad guy dies? And they always quote this pasuk to say that maybe you shouldn't daven, but maybe you should if it's a real Sony Yisrael, you know, it's all discussion. But this is one of the sources that they quote. Amar lahu tzeduki lebruria. So once we're talking about Bruria, the wife of Rav Meir, we quote another story. So a tzeduki said to Bruria, "Ksiv." It says in the pasuk, "Rani akara lo yalada." Rani means rejoice. Akara, the barren woman, lo yalada, who hasn't given birth. So why is a barren woman rejoicing? Mishum de lo yalada rani. Because you're not giving birth, because you're not having children, you should rejoice. Well, how does that make any sense? So Amrale, so Bruria said to him, Shatya, she said, you're a shota, shvil a seife dikra. Go to the end of the pasuk. Dichsiv ki rabim b'nei shomema mibnei bu'ula amar Hashem. What the pasuk is really saying is that you should rejoice because there are more, it's talking about the threat to Yerushalayim at the hands of Edom. So the pasuk is saying you should rejoice because there are more people who are shomema. There are more people in Yerushalayim. There are more Jews mibnei beula than Edom. Amar Hashem. Elamai akara lo yalada. Rani kines Yisrael shedom el isha akara shelo yalda banim ugehenim kavasaifu. She says that this is just a mashal, meaning the akara is not literally referring to a barren woman that she's rejoicing because she's a barren woman, but the barren woman is a mashal to Knesset Yisrael, who's like a barren woman, and it's saying to Knesset Yisrael, you should rejoice because you are more than the people of Edom, you're going to prevail in this situation. So Tzeduki challenged Rabbi Avo. It says, Ksiv, Mizmor leDavid, Bivarcho b'pnei Avshalom b'no. This is a perek in Tehillim that David HaMelech is described as having written at the time that he was fleeing from his son Avshalom. Uksiv, and then there's another perek of Tehillim that says, L'David michtam bevarcho mipnei Shaul b'mara. When David was fleeing from Shaul in the cave. Two separate Mizmori Tehillim, one talking about when he was fleeing from Avshalom, one talking about when he was fleeing from Shaul. Hai ma'isa hava b'resha. Historically speaking, the incident with Shaul was first. And so therefore, Lichtov Bereisha, why is the Perek talking about him fleeing from Avshalom before the Perek talking about him fleeing from Shaul? It's out of order. Amalei, Atun de lo darshisun smuchin kashiluchu. He said, you don't darshin smuchin, meaning you don't make a drasha, you don't ascribe any importance to the fact that something is next to each other, that two themes are next to each other in the psukim, and therefore you're only looking at the historic, the chronology, and that's why that bothers you. But I see greater interpretation in these psukim because I'm looking at themes that are developing next to each other, and therefore I'm not focusing as much on the historical order, the chronology. Anan, we did darshin and smuchin because we follow the themes next to each other. Lo kashulan. It's not a problem for us. This is our source for the idea that smuchim has relevance, that themes next to each other are worth exploring. And so therefore, in Lama Nismacha Parshas Avshalom Parshas Gog u'Magog, why is the parsha of Avshalom next to the parsha of Gog u'Magog? And these psukim, Shim Yom Rocha Adam Klum Yish Eved Shemorid Barabo, Afata Umer Lo Klum Yish Ben Shemorid Ba'aviv. It's because these themes are related. If you were to say that it's hard to understand why Gog and Magog would rebel against Hashem, so then I would just respond to you, well, if you've never heard of someone rebelling against their father, look at Avshalom, who rebelled against his father, David. Elahava, rather it was, there was such a thing, Hachanami Hava. So therefore, it's understandable why Gog rebelled against Hashem. The point is that we don't follow the chronology. Rather, thematically, if it makes sense for a Perek and Tehillim to be there to explore a theme or to develop a theme, that's sufficient reason why that Perek should be there. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Mishum Mayochai. Ma dechsiv pia pascha bechachma v'soras chesed alushona. What's this pasuk? We say this in Eishes Chayil. Kineged mi amar Shlomo mikrezeh, v'amar al kineged David Aviv. Shlomo said this about his father David, Shadar b'chamisha olamim, that he lived in five worlds of Amar Shira, meaning he was able to recognize the good in five separate situations and say Shira for them. What are they? Dar b'me'imo. So he started off in his mother's womb of Amar Shira, and he spoke Shira about that. Shnemar barchinav shias Hashem v'chol kravai is shem kadsho, kravai referring to the innards. Yotzo la'avira olam, then he left his mother's womb and went out into the world, and he looked up and he saw the sky, he saw the stars, he saw the constellations of Amar Shira, and he spoke Shira. Then Shinemar Baruch Hashem Malachav, Giborei Koach, Osei Devaro, Yishma B'kol Devaro, Baruch Hashem Kol Tzivaav, all his attendants, meaning the stars. So he recognized Shira in that. He recognized the greatness of Hashem in that. Yonak mishteimo, he drank from his mother's milk. Vinistako b'dadeha, and he saw her breasts. V'amar Shira, and he said Shira for that. Shinemar baruchinav shias Hashem. V'al tishkuchi kol gemulav. Mai kol gemulav. Amar abyevosh asu adodim b'makom bina. So the greatness that David HaMelech saw in that was the fact that a woman's breast, meaning where a baby suckles from his mother, is in that area, in the chest, rather than, if you think about other animals, the udders are closer to the private parts of the animal. So David HaMelech was thankful. The Gemara continues, Taima Mai, what's the big deal here? Amar Rav Yehuda Kadeshu Yistako B'makom Erva. It's not appropriate for a baby that's one day going to learn Torah, that's going to grow up to be a mature adult, to be focusing and staring at the private area of his mother. And so it's a gift that Hashem gives us that the woman, that a human baby sucks from the mother's milk in not right next to the makom erva. Rav Mas Tamar Kadesh L'Yinak B'makom HaTinofa, same idea. He shouldn't be sucking right from the a private area. Fine. That's why David gave Shira for that gift. Next thing is Rabim Apalasan Sharashaim Vamar Shira. He said Shira when he saw the downfall of Tzadikim, of Rishaim rather. Shnemar Yitam Chatoim in Aretz Rishaim Odeinam Barchinav Shias Hashem Haluka. We just saw that. Istako Bioma Misa, and then he saw the day of death, Vamar Shira, and he said Shira Shnemar Barchinav Shias Hashem Hashem Alkai Gadaltim Yod Hod Vahadar Lavashta. My Mashma Da Yoma Misa Nemar. How does this indicate that this is talking about the day of death? This is talking about the pasuk talks about how you hide your face and they vanish, you gather your breath and they perish. Talking about the fact that people die, David Melech was praising that. So he would often visit Rav Shimon ben Pazi, and he would work out agadita in front of him. He would tell stories from the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amrulai, so he said to him, "Mai dechsiv barchi nafshi es Hashem v'chol kravai es shem kadsha." What's the meaning of this pasuk that my soul blesses Hashem, all my innards praise His holy name? Amrulai bo re'eh. People are different than Hashem. Midas Basar Vadam, a person, Sar Tzura Al Gabi HaKol, so he could draw an illustration on a wall Veino yachol v'hatil bar ruach neshama v'kirbayim uvnei ma'ayim. So you could draw a picture, but it can never bring it to life. It just remains a picture. There are no guts, no life to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino kein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. Sar tzura b'toch tzura umatil bar ruach neshama kirbayim uvnei ma'ayim. He draws a picture within a picture, meaning the whole world is an illusion in a sense. It's Hashem's creation. And he draws people, he draws, makes individuals, mankind within that world, and it all comes to life. V'hainu da'amra chana, in kadosh kashem ki in biltechlev in tzura ke'elkeinu. Chana, when she was davening at the time of Eli, she said, in tzura ke'elkeinu, my in tzura ke'elkeinu. What does this mean? That there's no rock like Hashem. In tzayar ke'elkeinu, there's no illustrator like Hashem. My ki in biltecha, what does it mean when she says, there's no one like you? Amra v'yehudu ben Menasya, rather, that no one can outlast you. That people are different than Hashem. Midas basar v'dam, ma'isi yadav mavlin oso. When a person makes something, a person builds a car, so that, maybe not a car, it's a bad example. When a person builds something, it outlasts him. A person builds a building, so that building is going to outlast him. It's going to last a very long time. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mav Lemasav, as opposed to Hashem, he makes stuff, but he still outlasts it. Whatever Hashem is going to build, Hashem is infinite in terms of time, so he's going to outlast what he built. So Amar Lei Ana Hachi Kamino Cha Hani Chamisha Baruch Inashi Kineged Mi Amrin David V'Amrin El Kineged Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So he responds. This is the Rav Simi Bar Ukva responded to Rav Shimon ben Pazi, who had said all these things. So he responded, I'll tell you that the five Baruch Inafshis are Keneged Mi Amran David. What did he say that for? L'Amran El Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu U'Keneged Neshama. He said it about Hashem and he said it about the Neshama. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu Malo Ko'olam Af Neshama Malach Kol Aguf. So he's saying there are all sorts of similarities between the Neshama and Hashem. So just like Hashem fills the whole world with His presence, so too the neshama fills the whole body. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu Roa Ve'ino Nira. Just like Hashem sees but cannot be seen. Af neshama Roa Ve'ino Niris. So too the neshama is a spiritual being; it sees but it cannot be seen. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu Zanes Kolam Klo. Just like Hashem feeds and sustains the whole world. Af neshama Zanes Kol Guf. So too the neshama does for the guf. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu Tohar, just like Hashem is pure, Af Neshama Tohara, so too is the soul pure. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'Chadrei Chadarim, Kadosh Baruch Hu has his own domains, he sits in the Chadrei Chadarim, in inner chambers, Af Neshama Yoshevas V'Chadrei Chadarim, Yavo Mishi Yishbo Chamisha Dvarim Halalu, V'Yishabeach Mishi Yishbo Chamisha Dvarim Halalu, so the one who has all five of these features should be Mishabeach, should praise the one who has all five of these features, and that's why it says, Baruch Inafshi as Hashem, my soul will praise Hashem. Amar Rav Hamnuna Maidach Siv, ki mika chacham umi yodea pesher davar. What is this pasuk in Koheles referring to when it says, who is the wise one who knows what's happening? Or pesher. Pesher means, well, we'll see that in a second how they're going to darsh. That mika kadosh baruch hu sheyodea lasus pshara bein shnei tzadikim. So it's referring to the greatness of Hashem that he was successful in making a pshara, making a compromise between two tzaddikim. Who are they? Ben Chizkiyo and Yoshiyahu. Chizkiyo was the king. Yoshiyahu was the Navi, was the prophet. So Chizkiyo Amar, Lesi Yoshiyahu Gabai. So each of them were makbid on their kavod. The king thought that the prophet should come to him because the king has a lot of kavod. Prophet Yoshiyahu thought that the king should come to him in order to maintain his kavod. So Chizkiyahu Amar Lesi Yoshiyahu Gabai. He says Yoshiyahu should come to me. Dahaki Ashkan BeElyahu Dazel Gabai Achav, because we see that Elyahu visited Achav the king, and so we see it's only appropriate and respectful that the prophet, the navi, should visit the king. Yishayahu Amar, as opposed to Yishayahu, he said Lesi Chizkiyahu Gabai, the king should come to me, the prophet. Because the precedent was that way, that the king goes to the prophet. So Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, what does Hashem do? Hevi Yisurim al Chizkiyahu. He brought Yisurim, he brought problems to Chizkiyahu. He got him sick. Chizkiyahu got sick. V'amar lo Yishayahu, lechu v'akeres achol. He instructed Yoshiyahu to go visit the sick one. Shner b'yimim ma'im chalu chazkiyahu lamus, v'yavo ilav Yoshiyahu ben amot sanavi. The pasuk says that he got sick, and Yoshiyahu visited him when he was sick. V'yomar ilav komar Hashem tzvakos, sav l'veisecha kimatav lo sechaya. Kimesa tav lo sechaya. He says, you're going to die, you're not going to live. My kimesa tav lo sechaya. He says, not only are you going to die in this world, but you're going to not survive in the next world, meaning you're going to be punished. So Chizkiyahu got a little nervous. Yishayahu, the prophet, is telling him not only are you going to die, but you're not going to thrive in the next world. So he said, why would that be? What did I do wrong? He said, because you didn't have any kids, you were not in the kind of mitzvah of Pruravu. He said, well, there was a reason I didn't have kids. It's because I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that I would not have any good kids, that they would all be bad. So I figured better to refrain from Puri Aruvia than introduce bad actors into the world. So Yishayahu responded to him, well, that's not your business. If you saw a bad prophecy that your kids would be bad, that shouldn't stop you from having kids. Your responsibility is to have kids and try to raise them to do the right thing. You shouldn't be refraining from having kids because of that. Right? Your responsibility is to have kids, then it's up to Hashem to do what he needs to do. Okay, so Chizkiyahu said, okay, you really think it's so important for me to have kids? Hashta havli barteich, give me your daughter, Yoshiyahu, and I'll marry her and I'll have kids with her. Efshar degarma zechusa didi viditcha v'nafki minai binin demalu. Maybe my zechus will combine with your zechus. If I marry a very appropriate girl like your daughter, then that'll override the prophecy that I saw that my kids would be bad, and it'll all work out. So Yoshiyahu said, no. I'm like, far nigzra alecha gezeira. It's too late. You already went through your whole life without having kids. You can't reverse it. You're in big trouble. Amrei ben amotz kalan v'asecha v'tsei, kach mekubalani mibes avi abba, afil cherev chida munechas al tzavar oshodom ayimna atzma min arachmim. So Chizkiyahu said to Yishayahu, you should not have such a fatalistic attitude that it's all over for me, I can't redeem myself. I have a Mesorah. I learned from my grandfather that afilu cherev chida munachas al tzav rosh adam, that even when the sword is hanging over your neck, you shouldn't refrain from asking for rachamim. Itmar nami ravida bravi lazar de amri tarvayu. We have this, a similar idea from both of them. Afil cherev chidam nachas atzav rosh adam ayim no atzam in arachim shnemar hini kadluna yoy yachel. It's never too late for ask for rachamim. It's never too late for ask for forgiveness and to try to do the right thing. Okay. Amar Rav Chanan. Afilu baal hachalomos omer logo adam lomachar humeis. Even if the baal hachalomos, whatever this means, you have dreams that are explaining to you, that are predicting that you're going to die, it's never too late to daven for rachamim. Shenamar ki brov chalomos vavelim mudvarim harbe kirba ki es Hashem yira. Miad v'yasef Chizkiyahu panav elakir v'yispal Hashem. So what happened as a result of this? Back in the story, right? The Chizkiyahu turned to the wall. He davened to Hashem, and the Gemara says, "My kir." What does it mean? He turned to the wall. Amri Rav Shimon Levi mikiros libo. He kind of turned to the chambers of his heart. He turned inward. That's what it means that he turned to the wall, the walls of his heart. Shenemar may I ochila kiros libi. It's a pasuk that refers to the walls of the heart. Rebelevi amar al iske hakir. He referred to the iske hakir. What does that mean? Let's see. Amar ofan shalom umashu namis. So he said, the Isha Shunamis, the story with Elisha, who visited the woman whose son appeared to have died, So what happened? She made him a kir. She made him a wall. When it says that she set up his bed and a lamp and whatever, she said she did it by the kir, by a wall. So the word, so she just set up a little wall for Elisha. And that worked as a zechus so that he should be able to revive her son. So he says, my grandfather, Shlomo HaMelech, who not just made a wall, but made a big wall. He made a whole construction in honor of Hashem. He added, he built the Heichal, he covered it with gold and with silver. So all the more so, I should get the benefit of that zechus that he did that. Zechor na Eis Asher Yishlachti Gufanecha B'emes Evoev Shalem V'ato B'enecha Asisi. So he says, remember the fact that I did the right thing and I walked in front of you, Hashem, righteously and wholeheartedly, and I did the right thing. V'ato B'enecha Asisi. My V'ato B'enecha Asisi, what does this refer to? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shesamach Gula L'Tfilah. This refers to the fact that Chizkiyahu was Someich Gula L'Tfilah. I guess he was a regular at the Vasikan Minyan. He woke up early and was Someich Gula L'Tfilah. Rav Levi Amar Shagana Sefer Refuos. No, the big thing that he did wasn't that he was Someich Gula L'Tfilah. Rather, he hid a certain book of medicines that people had that were able to immediately heal them from their sicknesses. As Rashi points out, as a Kadesh Yivak Shirachim, this increased Tfilah. People, things were going too well. They had too many Refuos, too many therapies for their illnesses, and they weren't davening, so he put that away, and that resulted in people davening better. Gemara then says, Tanar Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Asa Chizkiya HaMelech, Al-Gimel Hoduo Val-Gimel Hoduo. Chizkiya did six things. For three of them he was praised, for three of them he was not praised. Al-Gimel Hoduo Gana Sefer Refuos. The one thing, as we just said, he put away the book of therapies of Refuos. Vahoduo. He got credit for that. Kasas Nachash Hanachoshes Vahoduo. He got rid of the Nachash and Hanachoshes. This is the story in Sefer Bamidbar, where it talks about Hashem had Moshe pick up a staff with a form of a snake on it, and when the people looked at it, it caused the Magefa to stop. And the problem was that people started thinking of that as some kind of magic potion, and that led to Avodah Zarah, led to kind of bad ideas. So he got rid of that. He cut it apart. Vahoduo, and he got credit for that. Girer Atzamos Aviv Almito Shel Chavolin Vahoduo. When his father Achaz, who was a Rasha, died, he didn't give him the proper kavod. Instead of bringing his bones out on a nice bed, he brought it out on a bed of ropes, which was something that was not so dignified. Vahoduo, so he got credit for that. Now, Gimel Lohoduo, what were the three things that Chizkiyahu did that he didn't get credit for, that he was criticized for? Sasam Me Gichon. So there was a story where the Sancheirov was going to invade Yerushalayim, and he stopped the water from flowing in a certain way so that the water wouldn't be visible and available to them. And he's criticized because he should have relied on Hashem. He shouldn't have gone to such trouble to do such a dire thing of the water supply of Yerushalayim. So therefore, he was criticized for that. Katzas Dulasos Heichal V'Shagram L'Melech Ashur. Vahoduo, the king of Ashur, had been holding Jews as captive, and in order to pay ransom, he took the doors off of the Heichal and sold the gold. So he was criticized for that. He should have relied more on Hashem. Avar Nisan B'Nisan V'Vahoduo. So here was the story there, was that Chizkiyahu brought about a big Baal Tshuva movement. All these people in all of Klal Yisrael were being Oved Avodah Zarah. They were all Tameh, because Avodah Zarah is Metameh. And Pesach was coming, and he realized they needed more time to become Tahor, and so he added an extra month of Adar on in order to give them more time. Now that in its own right wouldn't have been so bad, because that is a thing. We have such a thing as Adar Beis. You could add an extra month of Adar, but his timing was wrong. It says here, "Umiwesle uchizkiel achodesh hazel achem rosh chadashim zen nisan vein achar nisan." The problem was that he added Nisan after the Havmin of the Gemara at this point is that he added a second month of Adar after they had already declared Rosh Chodesh for Nisan. That's a really bad thing, because once you declare Rosh Chodesh Nisan in Nisan Achar Nisan, you can't add an extra month. It's too late. So the Gemara clarifies it and says, "No, Elatoh b'Shmuel." He made a mistake in the halacha of Shmuel. Wasn't that he waited till Rosh Chodesh Nisan and added a month. It's that he added a month at the 30th day of Adar, and that itself was too late. Ho v'roi l'kovo Nisan, savar ho v'roi l'amrinan. So there's a halacha of Shmuel that the 30th day of Adar is already too late to add a second day of Adar, because the 30th day of Adar theoretically could be the first day of Nisan already. And since theoretically it could already be the first day of Nisan, it's too late to add a second Adar at that point. You have to add the second Adar by the 29th day of Adar. He didn't hold of that halacha, or he didn't realize that halacha. He added a second month of Adar after that on the 30th day of Adar, and that was what he was criticized for. Okay, should we push through another 5 minutes to try to get farther down the page? Let's try. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Yosi ben Zimra, Kalatola bezuchas atzmo tolin lo bezuchas acher. If you take credit, or you dive into Hashem in claiming that you have such great zuchus that he should listen to you, so then the credit is given to others. Kalatola bezuchas acherim tolin lo. But if, however, you're a little more humble, and you call upon the zuchus of the others, so then you are praised as having the zuchus to have been saved. Zuchus atzmum, kolto b'zuchus acherim, tolen lo b'zuchus atzmum. Okay, let's see. Moshe tolo b'zuchus acherim, shenemar zuchor li Avram Yisrael Yisrael avadecha. When Moshe was davening to Hashem after the paraduma, so he davened to Hashem invoking the zuchus avos. Not saying, I'm great, but rather, do it, forgive Kol Yisrael because Avram, Yisrael, and Yaakov were great. And as a result, Talu lo b'zuchus atzmo, he was given the credit. Shemar v'yomer hashmidam lulei Moshe b'chiro amad b'peretz v'fanai l'ashiv chamaso b'ashchitz. He says, I would have destroyed them if not for Moshe's davening. So he got the credit. As opposed to Chizkiyo, Talu b'zuchus atzmo, Chizkiya, he claimed that he himself had zuchuyos. Dechsiv zuchor na es asher yisolach digo fanecha. He dived into Hashem saying, remember all the great things I've done, that I walked in your ways. And as a result, Tolo b'zuchus acherim, Tolo b'zuchus acherim, Shnemar veganosi el ha'ir hazos lo shia l'mani l'man David avdi. So they, as a result, they talked about David and the zuchus of David. V'ainar Rebbe Shulman Levi, Dom Rebbe Shulman Levi, Mai dechsiv, Hinegu shalom marli mar figu b'shosh yeshigir HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom mar hu lo. Even when Hashem had, there was a negative thing. Again, this idea that because he was tolo b'zuchus atzmo. Okay, let's just go a little further. So this is back to the Isha Shunamis, the story of the woman who was visited by Elisha, and Elisha revived the son who had appeared to have died. So Nase no Alias Kir Katana. So she made an Alias Kir Katana. So Aliyah sounds like an attic, and a kir sounds like a wall. Rav Shmuel, Chadamar Aliyah Prua Haisa V'Kiro Kirua. So one held that there was a kind of a second story that didn't have a roof, and she added a roof. She made a second story to the house. V'Chadamar Achsadra Gedola Haisa V'Chalku L'Shnayim. One said there was a big veranda, a big open area, and she split it into half as if she built a wall. Bishlamam and the Omer Achsadra, we can understand when it says, if you say that it was an Achsadra Hinduk Sivkir, that's why it says she built a wall, she split it in half. Elaman the Omer Aliyah, my kir, what is a kir? Right? If you're saying that she added a second story, that means she added a roof, not that she added a wall. So the grand answer is Shekirua, she built a ceiling. Kir doesn't mean wall, but it means ceiling. Bishlamam the Omer Aliyah, if you say that she built a second story, right? That's what we understand why it says the word aliyah in there. Elamandi amar achsadra, my aliyah. If you say that it was a veranda and she built a wall, so why are you saying she built a roof, right? The veranda already had a roof. So the grand answer is m'ula shivabatim. It's just referring to the fact that it's aliyah means the nicest room that it was. It was m'ugo shabbat. It was a nice room. V'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei menorah. That's what she did. She set it up with all these accoutrements. Amar Abayi v'tamer Rav Yitzchak harotza lehanos yehana ke'alisha v'she'ena rotza lehanos al yehana k'shmuel. Someone who wants to enjoy, he should enjoy like Elisha. if you don't want to enjoy, you should not enjoy like Shmuel. It's talking about, right, there are different leaders, gets all sorts of presents and gifts and free stuff. So there are two models for how you could go about things. Elisha, he would go visit this woman and he got set up a bed and a table and a chair and a menorah. Everything was all set up nicely for him. He enjoyed it. As opposed to Shmuel did it a different way. Rabbi Yochanan says that whenever Shmuel would go, he would bring all his accoutrements with him. He would travel with all the things he needed. He wouldn't rely on the generosity of others. This is now the woman, Isha Shunam, is describing to her husband that Elisha had visited her. This demonstrates that a woman is more perceptive about the character of her guests, more so than a man. Kadoshu, he's a holy man, she said. Mina yada. How did she know that he was a holy man? Rav Shmuel. So there's machlokes between Rav Shmuel. Chad amar shlo rasa zvuv over al shulchano. She saw that wherever he was, there was never a fly nearby. He was kind of pristine. The flies didn't go near him. V'chad amar sadin shal pishtan hitziya amitaso v'ol rasa keri alav. When she would wash his sheets, she would see there was no keri. So she knew he was a holy man. Kadoshu, again, he was a holy man. Amar Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, who kadosh umishar so ino kadosh. Kadosh. This is a miyot to say that Elisha himself was holy, but what was his name? Gehazi, his turned and then wasn't very holy. How do we know that? Shnemar v'igash Gehazi lahadafa. That Gehazi kind of assaulted her. Amar Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, sha'achsa behod yafeha. That he actually assaulted her. He attacked her chest area. He assaulted her. Okay, it's 5-2. Should we stop there, maybe? Let's just go one more line, because that's a better breaking point. Over Aleinu Tamid. So she described to her husband that this Elisha comes to us often. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Mishnur, Elazar, Ben Yaakov, Kom Ha'areach, Tamid Chacham, B'toch Beiso, U'menanea, Minechasav, someone who is... extends their house to a Talmud Chacham, is hospitable to a Talmud Chacham, and gives him from their belongings. It's as if you are being makriv karban tamid to do that. Okay, shkayach.